my beautiful listeners. It's me, Alison Spittle. You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I am talking to you from Dublin. This week's episode we recorded at Electric Picnic. I am doing the Dublin Fringe. I am finishing my stand-up run at the Dublin Fringe. It's called Alison Spittle, Mother of God, and it's a story about the school nativity play and other teenage japes that I went through. And also I talk about aspects of mass that I miss, and it's on in the Dublin Castle Chapel Royal. So it's a church, a deconsecrated beautiful church in the middle of Dublin city, and I am blown away by its beauty, and I do a special type of mass there. So if that sounds good to you, come along to that. It's on every day at 8:30. Tickets are selling well, and be quick and book fast. Also, I've got a play called Starlet, and I'm going to be doing a very small podcast doing a special on Dublin Fringe shows that I like, and interviewing Peter McGann and Roxanne and Acclaim, and I can't wait for that. So listen out for that. And Starlet starts on the 17th of September. What's weird about Starlet is it seems like it's sold out on the Fringe, Dublin Fringe website, but you can buy tickets from the Smock Alley website, so they're available. So some of them look sold out. So all the weekdays, it starts on the 17th, and it runs until the 22nd. And we got two matinees on the Saturday and the Sunday. I don't think there's any tickets available for the preview day. That's the 17th. And it looks like it's sold out on the Fringe website for the rest of the days. But if you go to the Dublin... we're sold out until Saturday, apparently. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say. I'm very happy about it. I'm very excited. I went into a rehearsal and... okay, let's get on and talk to Kevin McGahern and Tony Cantwell. Tony Cantwell has an amazing show called Live Feed. And he does a show about kind of like his sexual escapades as a frigid teenager on the internet. And it's hilarious. I relate a lot to it. He's amazing, and you can see him in Smock Alley up until, I'll tell you the proper days now. You can see Tony Cantwell in Smock Alley. You can see Tony Cantwell until the 15th of September. So you've only got a few days, and he's on at 6:30 every day. It's an absolute joy of a show. I really recommend you go see it. I'm going to do some more recommendations at the end of the podcast. But quickly to say Hannah Mamelis, Stephen Colfer, Aaron McGaffey, Dream Gun are very, very much worth your time. And I'm going to talk more in detail about Claire Monnelly's show and Genevieve Hume-Beeman, who I did my TV series with. Remember that? It was called Nowhere Fast. I loved it so much. So listen up after, and I'm going to have a proper big chat about how the Dublin Fringe is treating me after. But now it's Tony Cantwell and Kevin McGahern. Live from Electric Picnic. If you were there at Electric Picnic, thank you so much, because I was absolutely delighted to be asked by Dylan Hoskins to be on the podcast stage, and you filled out that tent and you really lifted my ego. So thank you, and I'll chat to you after.
Are you ready there.
We are.
How are you? Here, I'll get it. Do you know what? Push over and I'll get in beside you.
Will we?
Yeah, let's do it. Can we do that?
Great, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'll move this now, yeah?
Maybe I should have thought of this before coming on stage, but feck it. It's very organic. It's very organic.
I can be the cool one up here.
You can be the cool one up there. Cool. Fabulous. Now we're together.
So cozy.
It is so cozy.
Lovely.
Like, we know each other very well.
We do inside and out now.
Yeah. So, inside and out, what do you mean?
I finger Tony in Edinburgh.
Oh, Edinburgh. What happens in Edinburgh stays in Edinburgh.
Stays there.
So these lads, you know them, they're both great comedians, right? Kevin McGarren is from Cavan. Any Cavan representation here? And Tony Cantwell is from Dublin.
Hey.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you very much.
I actually don't, I don't mind Dublin winning today. Do you know, in the Ga?
That's an improvement. That's you evolving, Alison.
It is me evolving as a person, isn't it? It's like getting over an ex or something like that. And I'm like, I'm happy for the Dubs. I'm happy for them.
I have a bit of an affinity with Bernard Brogan, right? Bernard Brogan, there used to be this passport going around when we were growing up, like this generic-faced passport that everyone could use to get in before we were legally able to get into clubs. And it was Bernard Brogan's passport. And we didn't even know who he was, but he had the most generic face that anyone could get. My cousin, who's Pakistani, got on with his passport. If you look at his face, just traditionally handsome, and we could get in, and we didn't even know the effects of his face until we tried.
So, is my microphone on? Will I go on the other one, lovey?
Oh, we're good.
So, we're getting into nightclubs. Let's get into that, because I feel like that's a good place to start. Now, myself, I am 30, and I still get carded for, like, buying stuff you should buy when you're over 18.
That's because you have flowers in your hair.
I know, but
like
I'm starting.
A children's TV presenter.
I've got my first wrinkle, and I'm delighted. And I really kind of elongated as well when I'm going up to buy booze. I'm like, hello, look at this forehead. This is not the forehead of a 17-year-old.
Like a ploughed field.
Like a beautiful ploughed field. It's a good description for a face. So, how old were you when you first started getting into nightclubs? Or what was the deal?
See, does anyone remember the European Union social card? There was a
social
web,
card?
I can't remember the exact name. There was a website where you could fill in a form and put in your photograph, and they'd send you out an ID, and they didn't ask for ID when they were printing out the ID. So you could say you were 3 years older than you actually were. And it was a really official-looking card. All of my mates had it.
What a beautiful thing the EU
and
brought in.
Cavan bouncers just were not that savvy.
Right.
So they let us all in. It was class.
Well, what about yourself? Was there any kind of fave with the Bernard Brogan?
Bernard Brogan we used to get away with. Although my mate used to just... Because we never used to get in. The way I used to dress, like I'd wear like a blazer and a hat. And walking down, I remember walking down thinking I was looking the shit. And
like Bart Simpson.
Like
when
Bart Simpson. Yeah, but like Bart Simpson in a suit.
Yeah.
And walking down. And then I walked into Barcode and Clontarf, and they were all like, yep. And I walked straight back. It was like, it's not happening. So we used to fuck around with bouncers. My friend Connor, he had this ID that he made, a fake ID, and it had Robert De Niro's face on it.
Robert De Niro's face?
He had like an old passport that had expired, and he had put Robert De Niro's face on it. And he was like, there you are. And I was like, that's fucking Robert De Niro. Like, are you joking?
Yeah.
He had another one that was just a chicken.
A chicken?
And just fuck with people, you know?
I remember a mate of mine got a note from his mother.
Yeah? A note from his mother?
It was so pathetic that the bouncer was like, go on, you need this. Don't go home to that woman.
The only way, so Silver's and Moat was the place where I used to go. But is there Silver's Aficionados here? Oh, savage! Well, the only way I could get in was by sneaking in through the alleyway to get in. Like, was there any kind of sneaking in for you? Like,
there was. There's Cavan guys might know this. The Imperial in Cavan, run by Donald Keoghan. Just might as well say his name. If you went into the smoking area of the pub next door, there was a gate, and there was a gap of about 8 inches. And I used to dislocate my ribcage like a fucking snake. And I'd have to take off my belt. And like you squeeze in your ribcage, and then you squeeze in your stomach. I was a lot slimmer at the time. But I remember like a bouncer came around the other end, but I was already mostly through. But he grabbed my trousers and pulled off my trousers. And I was like, here, joke's on you, man. I'm already in. And he was like, yeah, but I have your trousers, man. And I was like, all right, fine. And I had to slide back in like a depressed snake.
Yeah, Barcode was tough enough. Barcode was right beside Clontarf Dart Station. So to get in, you either, it was part of Westwood, the gym. So you'd either go in the boot of someone's car, they'd go into the gym, you'd jimmy your way out and then scoot on around. Or in the back of Barcode in the smoking area, there was a massive waterfall. And at the back of the waterfall was Clontarf Dart Station. So you'd hop over into Clontarf Dart Station, climb over, and scale down a waterfall.
Scale down a waterfall!
While avoiding arrows coming through holes in the stone.
All your spelunking gear, just moving your way down. And you walk at the bar, yeah, Fat Frog soaking wet. Yeah. Pint of Fat Frog, please.
Pint, please.
Yeah. What about yourself?
What about myself? Like, no, what would happen is, like, once I tried, there was a nightclub called the Harriers, which was for, do you remember that?
Harriers?
The Harriers.
What does that mean?
The Harriers was like, it was like an athletics club. It was in Tullamore, and you used to get people from Roscommon, from Longford, from Westmead, from Offaly, from Leash.
All the best people.
All the best spots, right? And what it would do is like, it would be an underage disco. But the odd thing for the people from who went to the Harriers here? Give me a shout again. Yay, lads, do you remember in the Harriers, there was a pub, right, in an underage disco, which overage people could go and have a drink, right? And there'd be a glass partition between the pub and the underage disco. I want to know who the hell was going to that pub. Like, who the hell thought, you know what, a nice quiet pint now, and I'll go watch some 15-year-olds dancing to Gigi Agostino. just for the night to sin it, you know? They should be on a register. That's all I'm saying. Like, do you know? They should be like, they should be on some sort of register.
Tell us about your first nightclub shift.
First nightclub shift? Oh, Lord. Well, geez, I was more of a gatekeeper of the shift. Do you know what I mean? I was more...
You must answer these three questions.
Yeah.
In order to shift Tracy.
Yeah. Number one, do you have road frontage? Do you know?
Does your older brother have a car?
Does your older... Yeah. Oh, Lord. Because I was just a sensible one in my friend group. And also, like, my friends were, like, really attractive, but also really dopey. Do you know what I mean? And I'd be like, don't go off of him. He's a convicted criminal. Do you know what I mean? Nothing good can come of that, like. And I'll tell you now, I remember once I was in the back of a van with about eight other teenagers. We're all about 14. And there was a Scottish fella driving the car, and he had a single of Tattoo. You know, they're not going to get it. It's not even their most famous song. And there was three songs in it. He just replayed and played up really loudly and drive very fast over small roads. And I'm like, this is how I'm going to die now. To a B-side of Tattoo. Like, do you know? Like, that's a road safety advert in itself. Do you know what I mean? Never get into a van with a Scottish lad. Like, that should be the way. The first shift... Jeez, I tell you, jeez, they're not really funny. They're quite tragic. I'm joking.
Yeah, me too, man.
Come on, tell me about your shift.
My first shift was in the Carrick Springs in Cavan.
Carrick Springs.
Yeah, and I was doing a thing where I was walking around with a lad slightly less attractive than me.
That's the best way, isn't it?
Good. It's a horrible tactic, but it fucking works. And so you get like, do you want to shift Peter Paul? And they're like, no. And then like, hey, I'm in by comparison. But I was shifting this lassie for, I swear to God, 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Where my jaw was swollen.
Oh my God.
Like, we couldn't do anything else. I was too afraid. She was too afraid. But I thought I was in love with her because I'm a fucking stupid person.
How old were you now?
14, maybe.
All right.
13,
yeah,
14.
But lads always say, like, just don't be the first one to stop.
Yeah.
Really? Is like that a thing?
You can't, like, be the first one to stop. So
shift
45
chicken.
Fucking minutes 45 later.
45 minutes was solid. But I thought I was in love with her, and I knew she played football. So I asked my friend Kathleen, who played football. She was like, who's this one? Get her name. So she got her name, and I looked her up in the Breffni Blue, which is a football annual.
Oh,
this was our version of Facebook. Where you would... he would like go through the football annual and look at these tiny, tiny pictures of women's football teams. And I was like, that's her, third from the right.
Like an Argos catalogue.
Yeah.
Like, I want that one.
I asked her, I remember like I wanted to ask her to the cinema in Cavan. So I had all my post-it notes written of what I was going to say. Hey, how's it going? You may not remember me, but I was shifting you last Saturday for 45 minutes. And I remember she was so cool about it. Like, she was just like, oh, yeah, nice going, man. And I was like, yeah, do you want to go to the cinema this Saturday? So I said, yeah. We went to see The Others with Nicole Kidman.
Perfect shift in
give
film.
You a sense of the year. My friend's brother drove us in, who was a lunatic. And, like, we sat down. First 20 minutes, I was like, not going to make a move. I'm going to, like, play it cool first 20 minutes. 20 minutes in, I was like, time to shift. So I leaned over, but then her friend started shifting her boyfriend, and I didn't want to look like I was copying him. Give another 20 minutes. Went to go in for another shift, and then Nicole Kidman was getting undressed, and I was like, oh, I don't want to look like I just got the horn from Nicole. I'm like, I need to satisfy this itch. Another 20 minutes. And then it was just too long at that stage, and we just didn't do anything. And I was like, right, talk to you never again. And I remember my friend's brother drove me home, and halfway home, him and his friend was like, right, we'll do it here. So his mate got out of the car, got a tire out of the back seat, the back boot, tied a rope to the tow bar, sat in the tire, and drove along the road in some sort of like country version of water sports. Where they just dragged each other on a tire, and that's what I remember most about the night.
Oh my god, brilliant!
Sexy stuff.
That is sexy stuff. Sexy stuff. What about yourself, Tony?
Do you know, I don't think I've ever had a shift in a nightclub.
Really?
No, I used to go to the Scout Disco every week.
They'd be mad for shifts there.
And I'll tell you, when you go to the disco every single week, and you still don't kiss anyone, you become an incredible dancer. You really do. So I have that at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I loved them. It's so weird that the mid-2000s kind of Irish dance moves.
Yeah.
Like, especially because there's a lot of like Clubland and Hard House. And it would just be all elbows. Do you know? You wouldn't be moving your feet. You'd just be elbowing around.
There was and shit on your hands.
Shit on your hands. That's good. That's good. But what do you know what, actually, when I think about the Harriers, I came from Moat. That was my secondary school. Ah, they're amazing. But some girl in Moat shifted a woman from Kinnegad's boyfriend. And then there was civil war between Moat and Kinnegad and these women. And I was quite like, I'm short, but I'm wide. I have a good sense of distribution in regards to balance and stuff. I can handle myself.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was definitely a big thing about. I love going into Chippers at 2 a.m. in any town, especially Navan. Navan is my favorite town to go out in and watch chipper fights. It's a beautiful sport. I went into an apple kebab there, 7 fights in 40 minutes. I was able to eat my taco chips, kind of digest it a tiny bit, and just watch all the fights. And it's beautiful, do you know. It's definitely like a sport. But have you ever been challenged to a fight, actually?
Challenge to a fight. Yes, I was in a chipper. Again, chipper fight.
Chipper fights are the best fights.
Myself and my two culty friends were up in Dublin, and we ended up in this... anyone know the film Party Monster with Macaulay Culkin?
It's
about these club kids in New York, and it's very flamboyant. Gay kind of fucking gay nightclub nights.
Yeah.
Where it's like a lot of paint, a lot of glitter, a lot of crazy outfits. So me and two culties went to this gay night in Dublin, and we were painted up in glitter and like given crazy wings and stuff. And then we went to this chipper after, and some lads were giving shit to the guy behind the counter, and just being fucking just racist pricks. And we're just, here, man, fuck, he's only doing his job, fuck yous. And then he started like squaring up on us, and it was me and my mate Porrick, two small lads, and we had a big lad from Cork, but he was utterly useless. And they had two small lads and a big lad who looked dumb and tough. So, they would have killed us. But, like, we were just squaring up for ages, and we're like, yeah, we're going to fucking fight you outside, man. Come on, let's do it. And then I remember one of them squashed the big lad who wasn't doing any talking, squashed our big lad's chips, just squashed his curry.
Ooh.
And the tray squashed and the curry came out. And it was just like, he was like, well, I'm not doing that, and I should probably challenge the other big lads. And we were like, that's it, man. As soon as we finish these chips, we're going to kick the fuck out of you. So we ate our chips and went outside, and they were gone. And then we went home, and we realized we were covered in, like, butterfly paint. We looked like just the toughest gays that ever walked the planet. But too tough for them boys, I knew that.
But it's like, did your man continue to eat the chips after they were squashed? Did he, like, get a knife and fork and cut it like a loaf?
I mean,
do you know what I mean? A nice curry.
You've had your chips squashed before.
I have, and I've prevailed. Do you know what I mean? It's like, will I go to the questions on the card?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Right. Oh!
Your hands are very warm,
Tony. We'll do the quiz at the end. We'll do the quiz. Or should we do it now? Okay. Early internet. I'm very interested in early internet, especially, like, do you know before, like, Facebook existed and you had Bebo and Salad Fingers and that type of thing? How, as a teenager, what was your relationship like with the internet, lads?
I downloaded two songs.
It took
about 17 weeks. One of them was Fire, Water, Burn by the Bloodhound Gang.
No, Jesus.
The Roof Is on Fire.
Yeah.
And the second one was Scooby Snacks by Fun Loving Criminals. And it took a month for each song. So I just never downloaded again.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, I got spooked as well. I downloaded a... This is not funny. I shouldn't even start. I'm going to keep talking. I went on Napster, and we were just typing in words, typed in Silly Man, right?
Yeah.
And then we downloaded a video called Silly Man. Turned out it was that live televised suicide of that guy Bud Dwyer who killed himself.
Oh, yeah, that was very big on the internet for a little while.
I was scared for videos now for a while after that.
Yeah, that'll put you off.
Do you remember Rotten.com?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird. That was probably the first website I went to as a child. I was like, Rotten.com, what's this?
That was in
ever.
My favorites.
Lemon Party has to be my favorite ever.
Lemon Party.
Because it sounds so innocuous. It sounds so innocent. And it's just three old gay men making love to each other. Like this image. But if you look at it, it used to be a real thing you'd see as a kid. You're like, oh, my God. Having been pranked with it recently, because you forget about it and you go back on, they're actually really in love.
That's really
nice.
And
it's really tender.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet.
It's amazing with age, like, how that changes.
I
know.
It's like, fair fucks to you.
Did you ever go on to internet chat rooms? I was mad into them. I was mad into them. I used to. There was this website called teenchat.com. And the best thing about that was you didn't have to have an account. You could just sign in with any old email address and you'd be grand. I used to like go into Christian chat all the time and be called Devil 666 and I'd be like, God is a lie. I was a little Richard Dawkins, so I was as a child, you know?
You were a little Richard Dickhead.
I was a little Richard Dickhead. A little old Richard Dickhead. Or I used to go into this chat room called the Vampire Lair. And it used to be where people used to, what would it call, role play.
Yeah.
I used to love role playing as a teenager in internet chat rooms. Like, people would pretend to be vampires, and they're like powerful vampires. They'll bait the shite out of each other. And I used to pretend to be a clown car that was on fire. Like, I'd be like, help me. And then they would try and kill me because I'm messing up with the crack. And I'd be like, no, I have a force field. I have an impenetrable force field. And I think I ruined a lot of people's fun. Like, that was my kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or do you remember Airtel? I know we're just talking about memories now. But do you remember Airtel?
Yeah. Do you remember Yops?
I remember Yops, yeah. But Airtel had like a dating site where you could leave in like little kind of like, what did I call it? Like kind of like...
Classified
ads.
Yeah.
And there was a woman from my village on Airtel dating, and I figured out who it was. And then, like, I was so bad.
Like, go on, though.
I contacted her, and, like, I said I was a vampire. I thought that would, like, scare her or something. Yeah. She was like, fuck off. Like, that was the thing. But, Jesus, when you're a kid, you're fierce ignorant of, like, adults' needs and stuff like that.
But also, like, who you're taught, like... You're saying it wasn't it great as a child you could go on. You didn't even need to have an account. Like, the other side of that, like, you could have been chatting to anyone.
Oh,
It was called Teen Chat,
Alison. Teenchat.com.
That's just
and
like,
you
that's
don't
the
need
first
an account.
Thing pedophiles type in.
Yeah.
There's like, do you know what? I was looking for something I can't. Oh no, I won't. Actually, no, it's not podcast.
Tony, you had a lot of chat room experience.
I did. I used to. As soon as I realized in the early 2000s that online you could be whoever you want.
Yeah.
I just decided, right, that's enough of Tony from Dublin. I'm now going to be Ryan from America.
Ryan from America.
And
no
me
less.
And Ryan.
A cool American name.
And it was great. You'd be like, hey, girl, my name's Ryan from America. I like to play, I suppose, what you would call American football. You know? Very clever. And me and him had a good run until the war in the Middle East, and I became Taylor from Canada. You just got to change it up, you know. And we had a very good run. But you could just be whoever you wanted. You could just adopt a new... I was like, I'm Tom, the part-time fireman, 36, you know.
36?
You could just do that. It was great.
And what would you be up for chatting about?
Well, you'd be getting... You'd be getting down online, like you'd be doing a thing called cybering, right? Which you don't really have anymore. But cybering is fairly innocent. Like it's
I
like
think it's a lost art.
It's a lost art. It's what sexting used to be, right?
Is that what it's called? Cybering.
Cybering. So
cybering, yeah.
It's what sexting used to be. And by the age of 16, I had cybered with over 50 alleged women.
It was a good time. Damn, son.
Look, it was a good time. At my heyday. Frigid by day. Frigid until 18 by day. But a Lothario by night. Oh, wonderful times.
So, like, frigidness, let's explore that.
Sure.
I was a massive frigid and very proud of it. Like, I believed in my... Because I... Do you know, I think it was because I thought I wasn't... I had no sexual feelings. But then I realised it was just because I lived in a village with very, very, like... bad men. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm incapable. So, but I definitely thought that, like, I identified very hard.
Did you know?
So like an incel, like an infridge. Like involuntary
an infridge.
Fridget.
Oh, yeah. Like
Alison, did you
a little ice box inside a fridge.
Yeah.
That's what I
an
was.
Infridge, yeah.
An infridge.
Did you not
yeah.
feel sexual feelings towards, like the dad from Little House on the Prairie or something like that?
No,
very
I
specific now, Kev.
Michael Landon. Michael Landon did it for me, yeah.
He did it for you, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, and I'm straight.
Oh, who did I... Do you know what? I that low of a self-esteem, I had feelings for, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Jesus Christ.
And Steve Buscemi.
You know how to pick them.
I did. I was like...
Larry Flint.
I was like, in the right situation, I'd say he would. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Morrissey. I was Jesus. That was actually all of my
feelings.
All
very talented wankers, yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't they? But, especially like with Morrissey, I was like, there's only a 30-year age gap between me and him, and like it was so weird because I don't like him now. Do you know what I mean? I'm very hard against him now.
Yeah. Keep England for the English kind of stuff.
Huh?
Is he all keep England for the English?
Yeah, which is like Jesus. It's so weird since moving to England. I feel such a weird relationship with England because my dad is very English. Like, my dad is so English that even I feel colonized by him. Do you know that type of thing? I do, Jesus. I swear. I'll tell you, like, this... This is a bit, but I'll tell you, right? So, basically, my dad, right, used to put out England flags outside of our house all the time, right? When England
Mullingar.
In Mullingar, yeah. In just outside of Mullingar. And, like, this would be during the Euros and the World Cup and everything like that. And then... And then they would naturally get burnt, right? They would get burnt. And my dad didn't carry the full box full of England flags, right? And he'd go back into the box and he'd take out another England flag and he'd look at me and he'd go, this is what you do, Alison, when you love your country. This is what you do. And he put it outside my bedroom window. And then late at night when the fumes used to come into my bedroom, right? I used to pray to God. I used to go to God, God, please let England get knocked out of the World Cup. Please. And he always answered my prayers. Like, he always... It made me believe in God for a very long time. It made me keep the faith, you know?
God sound.
What was, like, because you were brought up in Marino, and, like... What was Marino in Dublin like? Like, what... Because for me, Westmead is like Joe Dolan type thing. Mm. I identify very hard with Westmead, but what was it like for you in Marino?
Well, It was handy enough for me. I lived in an estate... that genuinely was on a hill looking down on Marino. So it was in like, it was like if we flooded, Marino would be fucked and we'd be fine kind of vibe.
Beautiful.
And they kind of held that attitude in there, you know, they kind of, you know, for the most part. But I'm also somewhat of a bit of a half-breed in that my mam's real north side, my dad after the divorce came really Southside.
After the divorce?
Yeah, came really Southside and started living. And so I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, so I kind of weave between both. So It's a mixed marriage.
Yeah.
It's amazing because, like, after the divorce, my dad and my mom got divorced. And my dad's English and my mom's Irish. So when they did that, I called it the Good Friday Agreement. but he became very anti-Irish after the divorce. Like, he'd get drunk and he'd ring me up and he'd be like, oh, I hate the Irish. I hate the Irish. And I'd be like, Daddy, I'm Irish. And four of your children are Irish. I know, but I don't hate ye. But it's like it was very odd. I better. We've been chatting so long. I better go back to these questions.
I'll do the quiz. How long have we got?
How long have we got, Sarah? 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to go to the quiz.
Oh, wow.
Go to the quiz.
Do the quiz.
Fuck the questions.
Okay. And you can be involved in this as well. So if they don't get it, be ready. All right?
We'll throw it
be
to
ready.
The
I know that fella there. How are you? Sorry.
I'm fucking kill you.
Why?
Just in the quiz.
This is an Irish quiz. This is an Irish quiz. Okay. First question. Which Samantha Mumba hit was used in the road safety?
Body to body.
Hold on. I buzzed first. He didn't buzz.
There's no buzzing.
I assumed to be buzzing.
There's no buzzing. There's no top buzzer.
Should
I got it
be buzzing or no buzzing? It's a unanimous vote for buzzing.
Well, we know for next time.
So
go on.
Body to Body by Samantha Mumba.
Okay.
Ruin the song. You're doing the song.
We're buzzing now.
I love that song. I love that song. And then, like, anytime, even when I hear the original version now, I'm always going, one more time. Yeah, I don't need to be with a man like you. And that's not in the song at all. Like,
or what was the other one that I've never heard in real life? Shall I tell you about my life? And I've never heard that anywhere else than that.
I am.
What I find troubling about the new ad, there's a new horrible road safety ad about a lad just belting down the road. And there's a load of kids, and they're picking flowers, and they're about five.
And they all turn out grand.
They go into the woods, and like you think you'd be safe in the woods.
Yeah.
There's no roads in the woods. And they're all picking flowers, and they're picking flowers in roughly the size of a Vauxhall Corsa. About 12 of them in a little 4x8 size car-shaped bit of grass. And the car just goes... like a fucking Monty Python foot. It's so sad, but it's kind of perfect that it's almost funny.
It's kind of... It's like... I think there should be like a Spotify playlist of a road safety for the advert.
Yeah, some bangers in there.
I can't take my eyes off you. I can't take my eyes off you.
Shall I tell you about my wife?
or remember it was a road safety advert, but to keep you out of the IRA. Do you remember that one? And it's like
I think that was just Mullingar.
Those were the two friends to TVs. People in life. I'll go for another one, right?
Yep. All right.
We're buzzing now.
Okay, in 2002, what did the government send out to every household?
Oh, a buzz.
Buzz?
Iodine.
Iodine what?
Fluid.
Fluid.
Capsules.
Capsules.
Pills.
Pills.
What
was it? Pills. I don't know.
Those were only good for 2 years, right?
Still have them.
So you really hoped that nuclear fallout would happen in those 2 years or it'd be a waste. Do you know what I mean? They're just standing there. I'll go again on another one.
These are good questions.
Very good.
Okay. A member of which boy band ran over his own pelvis and blamed the baked potato?
He's 17.
Yes!
What?
He ran himself over. Brian, what's his face?
Brian Harvey.
Brian Harvey.
Brian Harvey. The story goes that he ate a bad baked potato, right? And it was very carb-filled, and he went into his car in the driveway, and he popped his head out to puke in his own driveway, and somehow he just ran himself over.
Oh, that's fucking beautiful.
It can happen to anyone. It can happen to... They should do a road safety authority ad about that, like...
Never, ever
on baked
eat
potatoes.
A bad baked potato.
Potato now, baby, if you got to bake a potato. Don't get sick out of your car.
Potato.
So was he driving while getting sick?
Apparently.
He had the handbrake off anyway.
He had the handbrake off. He did a bad job there.
Fuck me, that's funny.
We'll go on another one. Okay, the Corminator from California requires how many eggs per bloke per day?
Per bloke?
Per bloke per day. If you don't get it, I can...
No, throw it to the crowd.
Crowd, anyone know this
anyone
one?
Anyone know the Corminator?
5 eggs per bloke per day, you get a badge!
5 Whee! Eggs per bloke per day. Oh,
You just there's pins in that.
You threw that quite hard.
That's like darts. I'm very sorry. So you to get. Oh, I'll give you one as well. For please don't sue me. So Don Conroy is famous for drawing
owls.
Oh, that was an easy one. Yeah. He's fucking mad about owls.
He's mad about them.
It's almost weird.
It is weird.
I hope nothing comes out about him and owls.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. To be like, he'll be me too. Hoot.
The joke of the festival has been made.
Here's a dark one. Okay.
Dark web.
Matthew Broderick.
Oh, brilliant. Car crash.
Yes.
Car crash.
Yeah.
He didn't buzz. I didn't beep.
Jennifer Grey.
Yes. So the question is, right?
You need to explain what that is to everyone
Oh, do you want to know what happened?
Yeah,
you know what happened? Ah, yeah.
So dark.
He killed two people with a car.
Ferris Bueller.
And do you know where he bought his house in Donegal? Do you know the town is called Kilcar? You'd buy in a different area, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Must have got a great deal.
It must have. Yeah. So, what unparliamentary language did...
Fuck you, Deputy Stag!
Yay!
Fuck you, Deputy Stag. Fuck you!
Well, the most unparliamentary language in the world. Fuck you, Deputy
Stag.
Yeah,
that is my favourite clip that has ever happened in Irish Parliament.
It's incredible.
Because it starts off so soft, like the boy who gives out milk in school. And he's just like, well, I apologise for this unparliamentary language, but fuck you, Deputy Stag. Fuck you.
Deputy Gogarty, that is most unparliamentary language.
I'm very, very sorry. I regret it. I'm sorry. So lame.
So that's the end of the quiz.
Yay! Fuck you, Alison Spittle.
Fuck you.
Fuck off and talk to Una Mullally.
Oh, that's my favourite one. John Waters, remember
John Waters
that?
Telling him and Dunphy
to
fuck.
John, I'm a no voter, John.
Yeah. I'm on your side, John. Voter.
Go on and
fuck off. You're a bollocks.
You're a bollocks.
You're a fucking bollocks, Eamon. Fuck off and talk to Una Mullally. I told Una Mullally she has to call her podcast Fuck Off and Talk to Una Mullally. How many t-shirts would that sell?
Oh, I'd buy it.
I'd buy it that day.
Oh, here's the one more. I'll do this one. Which town was this quote from, right? I will let the audience, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Why would Michael Collins ride hippos? Tell me. Why? Why? Tell me. Tell. At Loon, yay!
I'll
ride anything I can get. Why? Oh, it's very...
And I love that's his kind of like, all right, I'm going to build up my defence here. I'll ride anything I can get.
Like, as if that's a mic drop, you know?
We should really attach a playlist of these videos for the podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, there's a lot of like rural Irish YouTube fun.
Why would I ride hippos?
So does anybody want a badge?
Give one to... Whoever got Athlone deserves a badge. That's a hard one. That's a nicer throw.
I'm not
throw.
Doing great now with the aiming. And I've lost about two of the badges. Where are they? Oh, they're down the back of the couch. Does anybody want to ask a question for the lads to get like an Irish general question? And you can get... I've got three badges left, right? So if you think of one, I'll ask them... maybe that was a shitty focus. We're done now.
Okay, which member of Boyzone was in the 1997 Kung Fu film shot in Trim called Fatal Deviation? Mikey from Boyzone, very good. If you've never seen this, he deserves a badge. If you've never seen this film, it's on YouTube. It's a Kung Fu movie made by a farmer, a 22-year-old farmer in Trim. Mikey plays a drug dealer, and there's a scene where he's chalking up cocaine with a Dunn Stores Value club card. It is adorable.
That's like, what I love about that as well is like they have the goons in like, I think it's Elandis. They're in Elandis.
Yeah.
And one to show that he's a tough guy, starts juggling some petty pans. Do you know the little the little breads? And you're like, oh, he's up to trouble. And then
he's about 40 as well.
About 40, yeah. And he's juggling petty pans, and the fella just kicks him into a box of shredded wheats. Like, and you're like, what a tough lad. So anybody got any questions there? We got a Roman Mike, Sarah, the lovely Sarah is there. And I got three. I'll give you the badge because you did the Mikey.
The lady
and then
so
we got two. We got two badges left, right?
Oh, hey. You actually threw it to the girl who's going to ask the question.
Oh, did I? Were you going to ask the question? Troll. Brilliant. Sarah, if you could get to her, that would be lovely.
Better be fucking good.
It's a personal question. Is that allowed?
Yeah, go for it.
What age are you, Alison?
I am 30.
Oh, me too. Oh, you're the same age as
Was that the question?
Yeah, we go to the Harriers too.
Oh, do ya?
Anyone else have any questions you could find out in fucking Wikipedia?
No, we just Googled
What is your job,
it Alison? It doesn't come up. It's like the biggest secret ever.
I know. What's mad is like, so I've Googled myself to find out when I'm playing at this picnic thing, right? And like, The search thing that's come up is Alison Spittle age, right? Alison Spittle boyfriend, right? And I know I got one. And the next one is Alison Spittle weight, as if like I'll pop that up on like I'm a bit of cattle. Do you know what I mean? Well, she's in this class now. Do you know what I mean? She's a fine set of flanks on her, you know. So do you want a badge? I'll throw you over a badge. Do you have any stories in Harriers now? I feel like you do. Was that for like Hollyoaks later, is it? That type of thing. Right, I'm gonna throw it to you. 3, 2, 1. Oh, that was very bad. I'm sorry now. Anyone else? One more. One more. Anybody got a question? Why did I move to England? Oh Jesus, right so.
It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. So Trevelyan stole the corn, right? So I was like, I moved to England because the rent was getting too high in Dublin, and I didn't want to move. I just Jesus, this is very personal now. Ask me what weight I'm at. 4 stone.
basically, career.
Yeah. Basically, it's my career. Like, I want to write more TV. And, like, RT are, like, it's mad how, like, what happens when I get interviewed a lot, and probably, like, Kevin might relate to this now, it's like, you get asked all the time, what happened with you and RT? As if it was, like, a big breakup, do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, well, I've thrown his clothes out of the window now, and he could go fuck himself now, to be honest with you.
You feel like Ronan Keating's wife when you answer those questions.
Yeah, I feel like Ronan Keating's wife.
Tell us the gossip at RTE.
So, I see RTE have moved on now, a very young model. How would you feel about that?
Kieran Garrity.
Yeah, so that's true. But
I'm happy for them.
I'm very happy for them. And like, so what happened was, we're getting a second series of the sitcom, and like, I wanted to write more, and I knew like that, like, there was, you know, TV3 aren't making nothing like that's scripted. So I wanted to move to London, and it was a steer for me to live in London and try and make a career for myself. But I miss Ireland so much. Jeez, I go into comedy clubs and I'm like, son, and the TK Red Lemonade. And people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? What? Is this a Catholic thing, is it? And I'm like, So I miss Irish audiences loads, and like, I like to go back and tour. And I'd work again in a heartbeat with RT, like, generally, because, like, they make stuff, and they make good stuff sometimes.
I want you back.
Do you know? Huh?
I want you back.
What?
I want you back for good.
Good.
Whatever I said.
In the Independent, I didn't mean it.
And I got that article redacted, actually.
Yeah. So, like, it's, and I moved there, and I've kind of made new friends, and it's nice. It's weird being a 30-year-old, though, and going around the place and going, hi, I'm Alison, I'm a Gemini, can you be my friend? Like, there's no, it's very weird as an adult to try and make new friends and stuff, but I love it. Like, and again, like, the best thing is, like, with the picnic, like, Dylan Haskins, lovely guy, he, like, allowed me to do a podcast here, so that allows me to come home and then do a show in front of, like, Irish people are my favourite audience, like, generally, anyway. I know, it's great, but you're not in much competition, it's the English, like, fuck them. Do you know what I mean? We'll redact that from the podcast, but so it's hard, and it's a thing I have to do, and I'll probably come back with my tail in between my legs in about a year, and pretend I don't know, like, last year, if any of you were at the podcast last year, I was interviewing Sharon Horgan, and it was very fresh for me about the RT thing, and I just burst into tears, and I don't burst into tears anymore, so I've moved on. Now I am getting teary, Jesus. But it's like, it's so weird because in Ireland, like, you feel like you're a failure all the time. Not in a, geez, you do. Like, I just have this, like, geez, we're getting serious now.
That's only natural.
I feel like a failure loads of the time. And then, like, you're kind of a, and you're looking at your friends and you're happy for your friends and stuff. But it's always, like, being a comedian is such a precarious life. And you don't know what you're going to be doing in 6 months or whatever. So it's kind of like, but that's the joy of it as well. It's like, you know, I get to do a podcast here and it's brilliant. Or I'll get to do weird stuff and it's kind of a, it's kind of fun in that respect. But I moved anyway because, like, Dublin is great, but Jesus, it doesn't want me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's doing, it's like you're at a house party at 5 a.m. and it's switching off the lights and putting on the kettle in a really passive aggressive way, you know? And I mean that by it's raising the rent, you know what I mean? And it's like, ah, well, you'll have to pay now €400 more to live here. And it's like, I just couldn't afford it with the opportunities I had. So in London, it's like I'm living with like 6 people. It's a different life altogether, like, you know. But I'm living in a place that, like, I can, like, you get paid for doing work there a lot more than you get paid for doing work over here. And that's not a bad thing about Ireland. It's like everyone wants to be creative and do well. I'm glad I did it, though. But I miss it. It's just weird. It's just weird in that respect. So there's your answer. And 16 stone. So, right. We're done now on that sincere note. We're done, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It's the only way that I feel connected to you. Like, to the country is actually by doing the podcast, and I'm going to do it more. Tweet me if you know any of any guests that I should have, like, because I'm running out of ideas at this stage.
Clearly.
No, I'm sorry. You're the best. I live to these lads. They're the loveliest lads ever. Like, and there's no one, like, we had all these chats every night for about 25 days, and it was an honor to live with you. And thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. May I please?
So thank you. I'll see you later. Have a great electric picnic.
So that was the live version of the Alison Spittle Show with two of my favourite guests, Kevin McGahern and Tony Cantwell. They're absolute lovely lads. Remember, Tony Cantwell's show live feed is on until the 15th of September. Now I'm going to talk more in detail about other shows I like and also my experience of The Fringe. So Aine Gallagher, number one, from the 17th until the 21st of September. Aine Gallagher is an amazing comedian and she lives in Berlin now. She does comedy in Gaelic, in English, and either or. She's absolutely hilarious. I'm going to get her as a guest for my podcast while she's over here. She's an absolute, she's just so, so funny. Starlet is my play that I wrote, and it's about two people that live in Westmead that wouldn't kind of hang out with each other at all if they weren't living in the same village and if they weren't forced by geographic necessity to be friends with each other. And it's all set in a car, in a Toyota Starlet, and it's kind of like, if you've grown up in rural Ireland and you know the type of lads that own cars, or if you are the type of lad that own cars, please watch the show. I think you might like it. I don't know. People have watched the preview of it and have kind of, it's a very kind of early 20s type show. So you know, if you're in your late 20s now or whatever, and you look back at you being a 20-year-old, I think you might relate to it. Is that a good enough word? Anyway, it's hard to describe it without describing the plot, which I won't do. So the Dublin Fringe, there's a show called Nate by Natalie Palamides. I saw Natalie Palamides in Kilkenny last year. It is a wild show. She is this character called Nate. She draws chest hairs on her bare chest, and there's a big penis in it as well. And it's a real Dublin Fringe brilliant show to bring over. That's what I love about the Dublin Fringe. They encourage Irish people to do really cool stuff. And then they bring over the best international acts. And then Erin McGaffey's show, Al Dawes Fucking Loves You. I'll read it out, the description of it, right? Aldoz lives to perform nightly in dimly lit comedy clubs. Al needs to make strangers laugh. Al loves his girlfriend, except that she's just left him for another man. With life unravelling, Al tries to make sense of it all in front of an audience. Erin McGaffey is Aldoz in this tragic comedy inspired by true life events about the story we tell ourselves when everyone is watching. Now that sounds pretty good. I really can't wait to see that. I'm so sad that me and Hannah Mamelis clash, and her show is called Symphony of Worms, and it's on from the 9th until the 15th. I've just been hearing fantastic things about it. Like, really, really good things. People have been crying, people have been laughing. And Hannah's just an amazing person, and I know that this show is going to be really good. And once again, PowerPoint Stephen Colfer. I've heard, if you like true crime podcasts, you'll really like this. Apparently, this is a really wild story told in a lecture performance type way. So it sounds so good. And Dream Gun is Dream Gun. They're always going to be funny. Like, you're no problem at all. And then A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings is a fantastic theatre company. Collapsing Horse have made this amazing play with Genevieve Hume-Beeman in it, who was in, she was Breach in Nowhere Fast. And Claire Monnelly, who played Mary in Nowhere Fast, has written her own play and is acting in it, and it's called Mindfield. And it's about, I think it's about troll culture from what I read off different pieces of press. And I saw a play called Charlie is a Klepto that Claire wrote, and it was one of the best plays, one of the best written plays I've ever seen. I just think she's so talented, so please check her out. And there's so much to see at the Dublin Fringe this year. Like, really, you are absolutely kind of you got so much choice there. And oh my god, Shane Clifford is on until the 14th of September, so that's you've only got a few days to catch him. The story that he talks about, he kind of alluded to in my podcast, and it's amazing, and I think you should watch it. So that's all I'm going to recommend to you. It's a lot to recommend. And Joanne McNally, a former guest of Prosecco Express, it did so well in Edinburgh, and it's going to do so well here. Like, check her out. It's going to be great. And also, if you're listening to this today, that is the Wednesday. This is nothing to do with the Fringe, but Julie J and Emma Doran. Emma Doran was a former guest on this podcast, and Julie J is just going to be a guest whenever I can get her. Like, I think she's one of my favourite comedians, and they both have this fantastic podcast called Up to 90. And they're doing a live show, and they got merch and everything. And they're going to be talking about The Simpsons, a fantastic 90s staple. And that's going to be in Whelan's. So if you're thinking of a last minute thing to do today, go check them out. If you've listened to this after the Wednesday, go check out their podcast. Like, I love them so much. That's it. I hope I haven't shouted on too much to you. But I really, really love the Dublin Fringe. They've helped me so much generally. And they're letting me put on a play. And I can't thank them enough. Thank you so much to Sarah Garvey, who made this podcast. Thank you so much to Alan and Paddy from Head Stuff, who helped get it done as well. Bobby Ahern from the Monster Club, who does the music, and William Conway, who does the artwork. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a lovely day, and please check out the Dublin Fringe. It really helps me and my friends so much in comedy. Like, the vast amount of comedy they have this year is amazing, and the fact that they've let me put on a comedy show in a church, I don't think any other festival would do it. So, you know what, the Bernard Shaw, not the George Bernard Shaw, the Bernard Shaw was an amazing pub. That I'm not really that big of a drinker, but they used to have like a little Italian cafe in there with lamb skewers, which was amazing. And now they have Eat Yard, and there's a little hub of Dublin culture, all the street art. And it was just a thing, to be honest with you, since I moved to London, that I missed about Dublin. I was like, oh, Dublin's so great. And it's closing down next month. And I'm really sad about it. It's mad how, like, Film Base closed down last year. And that helped, like, with the Firehouse Film Festival, which is a thing that me and my friends were involved in. And it seems like the spaces in Dublin to put on events and to do cultural stuff is going. And it's a real shame. So it just makes me really thankful for the Dublin Fringe, which just is an absolute heartbeat of Dublin. And, you know, if you like something, cling on to it. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, look, I'm back in Dublin for a few weeks and I love it so much. But don't lose the things that you love about a place. Anyway, that's all I've got to say. I hope you have a lovely day, and I'm ending on a sincere note. Mwah. Also, this is a quick advertisement for London-based listeners. So myself and Kevin McGahern live in Edinburgh together, and we had a lovely time. And we've been asked to do the Two North Down Pick of the Fringe festival that they have. So we are going to be on the 26th and 27th of September. So Kevin and Tony are sharing a night together on the Friday on the 27th of September, and I'm going to be on the 26th of September of my show Mother of God. Tony will be bringing live feed to London, and I will be bringing Mother of God to London, and Kevin McGahern will be bringing in a show called Taken Off. So please go to that. That's for my London listeners. Thank you so much. Bye.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.